Jules in the chair for Jimmy Smith this afternoon. Great to have your company on SEN 1170 Sydney, SEN Q693 in Brisbane, 1620 on the Gold Coast, and via the SEN app. Well, Australia continue their fine-tuning ahead of the T20 World Cup. They've got three matches against the Windies starting tomorrow at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast. Aaron Finch is the captain. Pleased to say he joins me on the line right now. G'day, Finchie.
Afternoon. How are you, mate?
I'm going very well. You know, we've been talking today because there's been so much animosity between Parramatta and Penrith fans in the aftermath of the NRL Grand Final. Is there anyone that you love to hate, you know, as a footy fan, as a cricketer? You know, somebody saying, I love seeing the back of Kohli to get him out. You know, as a footy team or cricket team that you just love beating, or a wicket you love taking?
Oh, I think it comes down to more rivalries you have with your own teammates in domestic cricket and things like that. So, not off the top of my head, but, I mean, back in the old days when a lot of the New South Wales boys played Shield cricket, it was great to knock them over, like Davey and Smudge and them guys. But internationally, I think you play against each other so much that it just becomes a part of the game.
Mm. It was Charles who worked with this. He's a mad Collingwood fan. I said, well, everyone likes beating Collingwood, but that's... but he hates West Coast. Yeah, probably hates Geelong too. Who can hate Geelong? Oh. They're just too good.
As a Geelong fan, I think it was a well-deserved flag.
No, it was unbelievable, Joel Selwood, his stats are just through the roof. But, hey, all eyes on the World Cup. Just a two-pronged question, Finchie. What did you get out of the India series, and what do you hope to get out of these upcoming matches against the West Indies and then England?
I think just fine-tuning ahead of the World Cup is important. And I think some of the lessons that we took out of India was the continued building of the depth of the extended squad. I think some guys got some opportunities who aren't in the World Cup squad. So I think just making sure that we're across a lot of different structured teams that we can play, because the last thing you want is for an injury to just totally derail your side. I think that having the flexibility to shuffle the team around and play a few different combinations is important. So I think that's what we took most out of the Indian series, and playing some really tough cricket against a world-class opposition as well. That's always handy.
Yeah, it is. And your own form there, I think 22 in the first game, a nice 31 off 15 in the second. How do you feel you're hitting him at the moment, Aaron?
Yeah, I feel like I'm hitting him nicely. I think my form in T20 cricket overall has been pretty good for a while. And just being able to really kick on him and get a really big score, I think, is the most important thing as an opening batter. So, I feel like it's not far away, though.
Cam Green impressed, didn't he? You're at the other end, so you had the best seat in the house, of course. David, now back at the top of the order. You elder statesman, can't rest on your laurels, can you?
No, I think the beauty is I don't think we ever have. We understand that you have to keep performing at a high level for a long time to keep the youngsters at bay. There's a queue of them lining up, and I think that's the great strength of Australian cricket at the moment, is we've got some great depth in players that aren't necessarily playing every game. So the ability for Cam to come in and have the impact that he did was super in a position that's reasonably unfamiliar for him, but he's shown that every level of cricket that he plays doesn't take him long to adapt. He's such a quick learner and someone who can adapt his game to any conditions, any opposition, and I've got no doubt that over the next decade he's going to be a really important piece to all three formats for Australia.
You mentioned the terms there, depth and fine-tuning. Do you think George Bailey's selectors think the side is reasonably settled? Do you generally know who the best side is or what your best side is?
I think in the back of our mind we do, but not having everyone fully available, Marcus Stoinis is with us for the first couple of games, but he's been building up really nicely. Is bowling on the back of a little niggle. So he'll join the squad in Perth for the first game against England. And Mitch Marsh is not fully fit to bowl at the moment either. So it's just a little bit of shuffling around. But I think once everyone's available, I think that we've got an idea of what our best 11 is.
Do you think it involves Tim David? You've got a first look at international level. He can hit him. How's he slotted into the international scene?
Yeah, he's fitted into the squad really nicely. He's shown the amount of power that he's got, and his ability to
play franchise cricket around the world and play so many T20 games over the last 18 months, I think has probably helped fast-track that development as well, because he just had exposure. And being an international or an overseas player in domestic leagues around the world, it's not an easy thing. The expectations are high on you. So the way that he's adapted to that over the last 18 months and then come straight into the squad and had a really big impact has been really, really nice. And it's been a smooth transition for him. And he's fitted in beautifully.
Is it the future, you know, more players of that ilk who are basically guns for hire in that international circuit, as, you know, is that the new pathway to the national T20 side?
No, I don't think it's the new pathway. I think that over time there's going to have to be some flexibility, especially when guys probably aren't playing shield cricket or one-day cricket for their state as well, or not even in the state system. So the ability for guys to be able to continue to ply their trade around the world and make sure that they're getting enough game time to sustain their form and continue high-level training as well is really important, because I think you see, once guys go out of a state system, if they're only playing a T20 tournament every four months or so, then getting that bulk high-level training is probably something that where your game suffers a little bit, and it takes you extra time to get up to speed for every tournament. So the fact that Tim's played, I think he's played over 100 games in the last 14 or 15 months is an incredible amount to play and can continue to work on your skills.
Shimron Hetmyer sensationally dropped in this West Indies squad. He missed a flight. You know, it's all a bit comical. But what do you make of this West Indies squad, Aaron? Changing the guard, you know, no Gale, no Bravo. Who are the dangers?
Oh, they've still got a really powerful squad, and especially them coming off the back of the CPL. They've had a lot of T20 cricket over the last 8 weeks or so. They'll be a really difficult team to match up against. Nick Puran, obviously, their skipper, is someone who's shown his wares in the Big Bash here and how destructive he can be at his best, and he's someone that you have to watch out for. Obviously, Jason Holt has been an unbelievable all-round package for them over the last probably decade, I think, in all three formats. So they've got a lot of experience mixed in with a lot of class as well. So there's plenty of guys there for them to win matches. Evan Lewis has played really well against us in the past. So, a lot of experience, a lot of T20 experience, I guess, that you need going into a big tournament.
So after your one-day retirement, does it change your focus at all, Aaron? Do you feel more sort of sharpened? You can hone everything in towards the T20 World Cup defence?
Well, perhaps a little bit. I think I've always given my 100% focus to the next game or the next series in terms of planning and preparation and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's any sharper, but maybe just a little bit more clear-minded, I guess, would be a way to look at it.
Have you looked beyond the World Cup?
No, I haven't. I haven't looked beyond these first two games against the West Indies, to be honest. I think in the background, you're in the months leading into a really big block like this, you do a lot of planning and preparation as a captain, leadership group and coaching group to try and make all them decisions. So the closer that you get to a series and a tournament, all them decisions are already made, and there might be just some tinkering here and there that the coach and the selectors want to do. So that gives the playing group in particular just full focus for the next series.
A home World Cup's really special, isn't it? Do you make much adjustment in terms of playing at home? Does it affect you different, I guess, mentally? Do you feel more pressure? You know, do you change your game for home pitches? Does it affect your preparation much playing at home and hosting?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the external noise is that there's extra pressure because it is at home and you're defending, but we haven't talked about that once. And the reality is every time you walk out and mark centre for Australia or you stand at the top of your mark, there's pressure. So that doesn't change. The only thing that changes is maybe external noise that if you let creep in, maybe has an impact. But we certainly haven't focused on that at all. We've just been really clear with how we want to play, appreciating that T20 cricket is a really difficult game, and being prepared to ride the highs and lows as individuals and as a team is really important, because if you start being reactive and emotional to disappointments in a T20 game. The game goes past you pretty quick, so that just doesn't allow you to enough of a clear mind to concentrate on the game 100%. So we're really supportive and understanding of each other's games and what we want to achieve out of the next 6 or 8 weeks.
Well, the World Cup preparations continue. Metricon Stadium tomorrow night, the first of 3 T20s, Australia and the West Indies. Finchie, all the best. Thank you so much for joining us on SN this afternoon.
Thanks very much. Have a good afternoon.
You too. There he is. Good fella and really good with his time. The Australian T20 captain, Aaron Finch. You can catch every game of the 2022 ICC T20 World Cup across the SEN network and catch every ball of Australia's T20 World Cup warm-up matches against the West Indies and England live on SEN. Now, tomorrow's game live on SEN from 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, 6 o'clock in Queensland. You hear the call with Sam Hargraves and Darren Berry. So our dear friends listening via 1620 on the Gold Coast, get on down. There'll be plenty of seats available. You get to have a look at some of the best players in the world. 0457 736 736. If you missed that, we'll podcast that chat for you with Aaron Finch, the Australian captain. Stu says, you ask Aaron if this will be his last tournament. Well, I try to be a bit more diplomatic, Stu, in my question. I said, have you looked beyond it? And he said, no. He says, no, I haven't looked beyond it. Look, put it this way. If they win on home soil and he gets to raise the World Cup trophy, I mean, can you think of a better way to retire? And he was good. I caught a lot of that second T20 against India, 31 off 15. He was hitting him well, Finchie. And I know his form's been down. He's had his fair share of injuries, but you don't write off a champion. I think he's got one last hurrah, and I hope he does. 0457 736 736. Laurie Horish from ESPN will talk NFL in the next hour, about just under 6 minutes remaining in this fourth quarter. San Francisco doing a number at the moment on LA, 24 points to 9. 24 points to 9. Speaking of, we're talking about those that you love to hate. Dan, Peyton, and especially Eli Bloody Manning. Well, why do you hate them, though, Dan? Give me a reason. Peyton, one of the old, it'd be top three greatest quarterbacks in history, Peyton. Then Eli's doing some good work. I don't know if you caught this on socials about him going undercover to, what, New York Jets, or was it Giants training, I think, Charles, and he's, you know, pretending to be like an overage guy, and he's putting the mask on. He's actually quite funny. He disguises himself serving food trucks. You go, who's this guy? I know this guy from somewhere. Are you Tom Brady? I'm not Tom Brady. I'm not Tom Brady. So there you go. You don't like Peyton, and you especially don't like Eli Manning. So much so that you've capitalised it, Dan, and called him Eli Bloody Manning. I don't think that's his middle name. 0457 736 736. Berkeley Eagle. Jules, a few things to ponder. Would this 22 Panthers team beat the 2008 Manly 40-0 team? Or the Manly teams of 95, 96, 97, who won 59 games, lost 13 in that period, or any other team in their heyday? Great question. We'll never know the answer. I think they beat the 08 Manly side. That Manly side of the mid-90s, and I know they only won the grand final, one grand final in 96, and I know that because it beat my bloody Dragons. But you know that Bob Fulton had just perfected that slide defence. It's one of the best teams I've ever seen. Outstanding football team. Good conversation. Thank you, Berkeley Eagle. 1300 01 1170. Those callers on the line, we'll get to you after the break.